Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Fresh from all of the fabulous inaugural events, because of course our own Terry Tracy was there. And then last night you were in at the state capitol, right, for the big swearing in of all of the fabulous Republicans like our friend Stacey Garrity and Dave Sunday. So we have a lot to celebrate and talk about. Happy New Year.
Good morning, Dawn. Happy New Year.
You're not supposed to say it this far in, but I haven't seen you. Have I?
Yeah, it's 22nd.
We have not spoken since the holidays. I hope they're good for you. I don't think the statute of limitations has passed.
Yeah, but if you don't see someone until March, you don't say in March, Happy New Year. There's got to be a cutoff at some point, right?
Yeah. Maybe inauguration day is the cutoff. I don't know. We should sort that out here, right here, right now.
So take us through it. Well, first of all, thank you. I know you're on a crazy busy schedule, but you went right from D.C. and then you went to the state capitol for all the swearings in. So can you update us on all the big news with regard to Pennsylvania? And we should be celebrating, right? We have this. Is this the first time since the Corbett administration that we have all these high level Republicans in charge, if you will, in PA?
Yeah, it's true. And I think it's the first time we've had the Republican Party's had the row offices. Conservatives had the row offices since, 30 years or something like that, the 80s or 90s. So it's really an impressive showing for the party, for the conservative movement in Pennsylvania. And I think what struck me the most about the event last night for the swearing in of Stacey Garrity and Tim DeFore and Dave Sunday was that it felt very much like a harbinger of things to come, that this is the beginning of something in the state, not the end or, an interim diversion from. It was not just Republicans in the room last night. And that's not because it was just a, ceremonial thing and, you have representation from both parties. Even at the reception and the after events, there were a number of high-profile Democrats who were in the room, and I think there was a sense that they are recognizing there's been a sea change in the state, and they're getting on board. And whether that means working with Republicans to get things done on behalf of the people of Pennsylvania, or whether that's doing some serious soul-searching about what the far left, what the uber-progressive movement has done to the Democratic Party, and maybe it's a mixture of both. But I think that there's no argument that an improved and an improved and sane Democratic Party is also good for the Commonwealth. So I thought it was good to see that last night as well.
And so, the row offices you're talking about all now occupied by these famous Republicans. The first thing I noticed was, for example, the more than two dozen states, attorneys general across the country filing against the birthright citizenship that President Trump is pushing for, to say that no other nation has this, that issue. But because our Attorney General, Dave Sunday, is a Republican, he did not join with other Republicans across the nation to sue in this level. It was one of the first things that I noticed. I was like, oh, this is unusual. Pennsylvania is not on that list. New Jersey is, right? Delaware is, not us.
Yeah, Attorney General Josh Shapiro would have been all over that to grab a headline or two. I'm of two minds of that particular issue, Dawn. I think it's a legitimate policy issue because the system has been gamed, because the issue has been abused. However, it is in the Constitution, mm-hmm. And there are going to be some pretty legitimate legal challenges to it. And as a sort of strict constructionist by nature. Mm-hmm. What I think is going on here is that the Trump administration is saying, we're going to go all in, sort of kitchen sink approach on immigration. It's what the American people want. It's what the electorate voted for. President Trump was unambiguous when he was campaigning that this was going to be his top priority, and it's connected to everything else. and he's going to get the job done. And while I don't like to throw the word mandate around, I think on this particular issue, he absolutely has a mandate to do this. But I think it's also likely one of these things where he knows that this one may come off the table as he's negotiating in time, and that there's going to be some wiggle room around how to deal with this particular aspect of his overall immigration policy, but he'll be able to be more aggressive on other fronts as a result of there being trade-off. No one's told me that. It's complete speculation on my part. But my sense is, you know, because it is enshrined in the Constitution, because it's going to be a protracted legal battle, it's going to be used as leverage to get some of these other things done to secure the border now.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah, the art of the deal, you know, and that's
absolutely.
And we'll be, you know, we'll be accused by some who want to be the detractors that were Trump-splaining. But I agree with you. I think that's 100%. He's trying to get people to self-deport and as well just trying to get the best deal for the country. And we'll see. It's going to go to the Supreme Court, obviously. And then we'll see how that shakes out. As far as, you know, you mentioned Stacey Garrity. You mentioned as well DeFore. When you think about this, I think about some of the big issues, Terry Tracy, the pharmacy benefit managers costing so much for taxpayers. That's a huge issue. I know that for Stacey Garrity, when she was hailed, in fact, by her office's investments in those Israel bonds, and we've seen a real support for Israel. Your reaction to all of that, you think about the headlines, what's happening now with the peace accords and the hostages, thank God, coming home, although not soon enough. And you think about Pennsylvania's role in all of the world's reaction. And I'll tell you, Terry, when I've interviewed people who live in Israel or reporters who report from there, and my husband, Larry, as well, what they say is that everybody in Israel watches us, and mm-hmm. it means a lot to those states, those places, those people who understand this is a hostage situation, that this was a terrorist act. Just your I know I just kind of threw out a lot at you, but just your reaction to those items in the headlines.
How about President Biden calling it a joke that people would assert that, you know, that Trump had some impact, that these things you're talking about had some impact on finally getting a ceasefire and getting some of these hostages home. I mean, it's like the guy can't figure out which part you're supposed to say out loud and which part you're supposed to keep to yourself. It's really astonishing. You know, I think as Pennsylvanians, we should pump our tires a little bit here. I mean, the reality is we're not just the Keystone State in a political sense, you know, purely because of the Electoral College, but because of all of these other issues that you're talking about, immigration, energy, foreign policy, because as President Trump calls it, the liquid gold beneath our feet, we are a significant strategic player on the world stage. And I think that's why it is so important to have leaders in all levels of government who truly do believe in the concept of put America first. And that's that doesn't mean we have to agree on every policy issue. But it means that our priorities are, you know, derived from the idea that this is a great nation who has the potential, who has a track record of doing great things, that has tremendous capacity to do more great things for ourselves and for the world. And that should be, that impulse is what should inform our policy approach, not the, you know, oh, you know, we're terrible, we're racist, we're flawed. Of course we're flawed, we're human, but it really is refreshing. And one of the things that struck me the most, and I'll make this point to come back to what you were saying about Stacey Garrity and Tim DeFore, but one of the things that struck me the most about President Trump's inaugural address was the foreign policy piece. I mean, he has been mm-hmm. labeled an isolationist when he campaigned in 15 and 16. It was really about getting us out of long, protracted wars. And conservatives, many conservatives, particularly the neocon wing of the Republican Party, felt like this was a guy that was going to undermine the Morning in America sort of Reagan foreign policy era with this isolationist impulses. And when you listen to that speech the other day, him going on about, you know, the Gulf of America and the Greenland stuff and Panama Canal, it's a manifest destiny sort of James K. Polk doubling the size of the country, the best real estate deals in our history. Maybe it's the Polk doctrine, I don't know. But it really, to hear an American president speak like that is something that is, I find to be tremendously refreshing, but it's also grounded in common sense and not idealism or ideology. And that, I think, will prove to be a very powerful combination, which brings me back to Pennsylvania. And when you listen to a guy like Tim DeForest speak, he is an actual practitioner in the job. The man is an accountant. He's an auditor. He's a finance guy. He's the first guy in that office in memory who is not in that office so he can run for something else. And, you know, Stacey Garrity's track record in her first term was rewarded on these things because she's now the largest vote getter ever in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. That's not by accident. Mm-hmm. And so we really are, I think, blessed. We can sigh of relief that we have these kinds of leaders in these roles at this very dangerous moment in the world, because there is a lot of healing that needs to be done. And there is a lot of pivoting that must be done from a policy perspective, and particularly with what we're projecting on the world stage. And it feels like that reset is very much happening in real time.
I'll just throw out some headlines because I only have a couple minutes with you. I know you got to go because you're on the move. But your reaction to, and I'll just throw these out. There's TikTok and Trump talking about that, and it's worth maybe $1 trillion. We've got Doge. We've got drop DEI by 5 today. We've got immigration reform. You pick.
Let's talk about Doge for a second, because I think that it is, well, it's gotten a lot of publicity because of who's connected to it, mm-hmm. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, although he's leaving to apparently run for governor of Ohio. But this is the first time since maybe the reinventing government movement in the beginning of the Clinton administration, which we're talking, what, 92? So now 32 years, it's almost a generation, that someone is taking a serious look at the size and scope of government, the constitutional role of the bureaucracy in at the federal level, questions of federalism and the administrative state. This is a really, really, really important issue. This is not just a, you know, let's go in there and you take a sledgehammer to it and burn the place down. I don't think that's what this is. I think Trump, President Trump and Elon Musk and the team that they put together is going to be targeted. They're going to be strategic, and they are going to do something that I think has the potential to create generational kinds of change. And it's something that's way overdue because government has become way too involved in every aspect of our lives. And there's the issues we talk about, but then there are other things that have been disastrous. I mean, think about when the Obama administration attached student loan reform to the ACA healthcare bill mm-hmm. through the reconciliation process. And what has that done? It has done nothing but create a government monopoly that has resulted in bloated universities with woke ideologies driving the agenda rather than educating our kids, and massive, massive increases in tuition that are breaking families and also kids who are getting out of school with massive student debt. Yeah. That is a government-created problem, and it's the kind of thing that sort of, like, gets glossed over because it has become so much the norm in Congress and with these progressive administrations. And DOGE offers an opportunity to examine the impact of that on the American government and the American society at a level of detail and scrutiny that has not been done in decades. And if they do this right, it's a game changer.
We'll leave it at that. Terry Tracy, Chief Executive Officer, Broad and Liberty. There's so much on there. Terry, travel safe back home. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dawn. Always a pleasure.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.